Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I praise the Lord for each one of you that listen. And my heartfelt prayer is that you will find joy and peace and strength in this hour in which we're now living. I know there may be great personal battles you find yourself going through, or maybe it's a time of relative quiet and peace. We can always give God praise for those periods of R&R, isn't that right? Nonetheless, the times in which we are living, the world in which we live, the things we're dealing with in this nation, it can bring great heaviness of heart when we see the difference between light and darkness. Evil is growing much more evil, if that's possible, and the righteousness of the saints, it's beginning to shine as a city on a hill. And that is what God wants us to do. Jesus said He was the light of the world, and we are a city set upon a hill. And people will come to the brightness of our rising, as it says in Isaiah. We are the only source of hope, the truth of the gospel, the truth that is found in Jesus Christ, He who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me and by me. Jesus alone is the way to a life everlasting. And so I just want to encourage you, and I want to pray for you right now. Father, you see your people, and you know, Lord, you're touched by the feeling of our infirmities. You know the things that we struggle against, our flesh, the desires of the carnal mind, the things that would seek to deter us or discourage us or get us off track or get us to focus our attention on non-essentials. Lord, bring us back. Let our eye be single upon you, that our whole body shall be full of light. Let us set our face as a flint upon the things of God, that we shall not be turned aside, but we shall walk that narrow and straight way. We shall keep our eyes upon you, Lord, and you will use us, Lord, to touch those around us, our family, friends, loved ones, neighbors, those that we are in communication and fellowship with, Father. Thank you, Lord, that each one of us you've called, help us to be obedient to that calling with which you have called each one of us in the precious and matchless name, that name which is above every other, the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. We've been talking about the importance of the Holy Spirit. We've been talking about the twofold experience in the Holy Ghost that Jesus spoke of. When He appeared to His disciples after His death and resurrection, He came through a closed door. He came in their midst and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." He breathed upon them. But then before He left, He said, "Now, I don't want you to go. Don't leave Jerusalem. You go and tarry in this upper room and wait there until you receive the promise of the Father." He said, "It's necessary," He told His disciples, "that I have to go, or else the promise of the Father, the precious Holy Spirit coming upon you, that empowering wind, will not come unless I go." And so, as we look at Scripture, at least in my understanding, there is an experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There is the gift of tongues, one of the gifts of the Spirit, that is to be used in a corporate setting, always with interpretation. Paul speaks that if no one is there to interpret, then the person who is giving that message in tongues should pray for an interpretation, because God was very clear through Paul the ways the gifts of the Spirit should be in operation in a way that is decent and in order. Because he said, he spoke to the Corinthians, he said, if you're all speaking in tongues, won't an unbeliever come in and say you're all mad? God does things in order. He does not offend the natural mind. If we are honest, we will understand there is a beauty to the ways of God. Now, when it comes to the arrogance and pride of man, oh yes, he will. He will definitely offend us. In fact, the very gift of tongues, that prayer language, is very offensive to the natural mind. It really is, because it seems foolish. We can't understand what we're saying. And so, to the pride of man, it is a humbling thing to submit our most unruly member, the tongue, which James speaks about in his epistle, to the authority and power of the Holy Spirit. It is just one of the ways God chooses that his servants should walk in humility. He dwells in the high and the holy place, and with him also who is of a contrite heart and a humble spirit. For what purpose? To revive the heart of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Praise God. All right, beloved, we are talking about the law of the Spirit of life, which Paul spoke of in Romans 8 and 2, that law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which hath made us free from the law of sin and death. This is where we stand positionally in the Spirit. The law of the Spirit is as certain as the law of gravity, as the natural laws which God has used to govern his universe. He has a fixed method, if you will, of operation of doing things. Although men may attempt to change what God chooses to set in operation, it won't work. It's the law of the Spirit of life which quickens us. We are told in Scripture that the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. The moral law, the code that was given to the Israelites in the Old Covenant, while it was good, it couldn't give life. It could only reveal sin. Paul speaks of it as a schoolmaster, which teaches us the flesh of man simply can't keep God's law. There was only one sinless human being who could do that, and his name is Jesus. So the law of the Spirit of the law of life in Christ Jesus can only operate through the Prince of Life, through Jesus himself. The living truth of God comes to us through him who is the Word of God. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus does some mighty things in our lives. He makes us free from the law of sin and death. We're well acquainted with the weakness of our own flesh. If you've ever tried to make New Year's resolutions, you know how long they generally last. But the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is mightier by far than the law of sin and death. And that law of the Spirit of life brings deliverance to you and freedom to you. In verse 3, we find, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, basically the weakness of our flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. The law could do a lot, for it was holy, it was just and good, but it could not forgive sin. It was utterly weak and could not justify a sinner. Hebrews 7 and 18 shows us that the law could make nothing perfect. Let me just share that with you. Hebrews 7 and 18. For there is verily a disannulment of the commandment going before, for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. Let me read 19. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so going back now to Romans 8, in verses 6 and 7, we find the carnal or the fleshly mind is death. Let me read that. Verse 6, but to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal man, mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither can indeed be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So we see that it isn't anything in our flesh that pleases God. The person who sows to this fleshly mind will reap corruption. Those that are in the flesh, it's laid out clearly, cannot please God. The carnal mind is not death in a passive sense. It actually is active. Think about that. It's enmity against God. That is not just a condition. It's something active. It's something alive. It is something powerful to be contended with. And the carnal mind, I'm sure you found in your own experience, constantly wars against the things of God. I certainly have found that true in my own life. God's word is true. It describes our condition perfectly. And it's impossible for our carnal mind to be subject to the law of God. A polluted or a bad tree can't bring forth good fruit. Didn't Jesus say that? So, beloved, the bad news is, it's bad and good. The only cure for the carnal mind is that of spiritual crucifixion. Kill it. The Apostle Paul was delivered from his fleshly mind, his carnal mentality, when he said, "What wilt thou have me to do?" When he finally came to the realization and the experience when he was not of God, of Jesus, when he was knocked off his horse on the way to persecute the church headed toward Damascus. He said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me do?" And later he said, "I am crucified with Christ." So to be spiritually minded, beloved, is life and peace. It is the evidence of a great change. Life and peace are the results of this new creation work by and in the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Well, my time is, again, it just goes so quickly, and we will continue on tomorrow's broadcast. I hope you can join me at the same time. But if you have prayer needs, or even if, you know, you don't have a specific need, but you're restless in the Spirit, and you're just asking prayer, I don't have to know specifics. I can pray in the Spirit for you. The Holy Spirit knows perfectly how to pray. And so I invite you to write, share your prayer needs, and know that should you email, I invite you to share your mailing address so that I can respond back to you by letter, although I will always pray and confirm receipt. I love you dearly. I pray and fast for you regularly, my family, UCM partners, my radio family. And until tomorrow, know that I love you dearly and I pray for you every day. Until then, may God's richest blessings forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.